Grace and peace to you as we gather together today in the name of the living Christ to worship God. Surely God is in this virtual space with us wherever we may be as we gather to worship together this morning in spirit and in truth. Let us begin our worship service in prayer. God of love, you have loved us first and continue to love us. We come before you a people longing to love you in return. We hunger for your healing love in our lives, for we long to love ourselves and our neighbors. Come to us this day and fill our longing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship service here at Parma Christian Church. We are glad to have you with us and invite you to continue joining us for worship each Sunday morning on Facebook at 10:45 a.m. There are two items that I'd like to remind you of this morning. The first is communion. Because this congregation believes it is important to participate in weekly communion, we will have a time for us to share communion with one another today. So I invite you to use whatever you may have in your home for the bread and the cup, a cracker, some juice, water, whatever you may have, and know that your table is an extension of Christ's table where all are invited to participate. The second thing I want to remind you of is offering. Your generosity is appreciated. And you may use our online giving tool, Givelify, which is found on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org. Or you can send in an offering to us via the mail at 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. That's 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129, and our church website is parmachristianchurch.org. Today, our scripture is from the book of Jonah, which is found in the Old Testament or Hebrew scriptures. When many of us think of Jonah, we automatically think about the man who was swallowed by the whale, and that's pretty much what we think about. But there's more to the story than just the whale. This week we're going to look at chapter 1, and next week I want us to continue by looking at parts of chapters 3 and 4. So I would invite you to spend this week reading the book of Jonah. It is only 4 chapters long. It's fairly short, and you can read that in a matter of hours, or at least a day or two. Take a chapter a day, and you can get through it easily. And I'd like for you to contemplate on how God is speaking to you through the story of Jonah. Here is a reading from Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" "I am a Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them so. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So there is a common theme that runs throughout some of the world's greatest tales, some of the world's greatest sagas, some of the world's greatest books throughout history. Joseph Campbell calls it the refusal of the call, which is a part of what he has a larger theme called the hero's journey. The refusal of the call is a classic move in storytelling. I think if you think about it, you can come up with lots of examples. And one that's familiar to a lot of us, especially in this age of superhero movies and comic books, is of a superhero. A superhero who learns he has powers, but initially refuses to use them. Like Spider-Man, who discovers his powers and he refuses to stop a thief. And then his uncle is later killed by that same thief. And Peter Parker, who initially refused the call to use his powers for good, has to reconsider what it means to be Spider-Man. Now, the hero in our scripture today also initially refused the call. Jonah purchased his way onto a ship bound for Tarshish, which I'm guessing most of us probably have no clue where Tarshish was. It was actually far, far away from where Jonah lived. He purchased his way on this boat because he was running away from God. God had asked him to go to Nineveh, and Nineveh is where Jonah did not want to go. So he went in the opposite direction as far as he could get, a boat bound for Tarshish. See, Jonah knew that at that point in Nineveh, which was dominated and ruled by a kingdom called the Assyrians, that was the strongest nation in the world, and he knew that eventually the Assyrians were going to march their way towards Israel, and in 40 years would basically destroy part of the nation. And Jonah couldn't stand the thought of being called by God to go to Nineveh to preach forgiveness. So he made his plans to go in the opposite direction. He planned his getaway, and instead of traveling 500 miles through the mountains to the desert to Nineveh, he went to Joppa, which was on the coast. He boarded a ship to go to Tarshish, which is on the southern tip of Spain. So Nineveh, which is over here in modern-day Iraq, and Spain, Tarshish, completely far, far away from each other. Tarshish was a wealthy Phoenician port at that time, and it was 2,300 miles from Joppa. And to get there, it was probably going to take them about a year of traveling from port to port on the Mediterranean Sea to get to Tarshish. It was as far as away from Nineveh as Jonah could get. Now, people of Jonah's time thought that Tarshish was actually at the end of the earth, because if you looked west from Tarshish, all you could see was more water. And at that point in history, no one in the biblical world realized that there was anything beyond Tarshish. So Jonah ran, he boarded this cargo ship and began to settle in for the long, long, relaxing journey to the ends of the earth, thinking there was no way that God was going to find him. However, there was a storm. And it wasn't just any storm on the sea, it was the granddaddy of them all, A huge storm. In verse 4, it says, "The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up." Now, the sailors on the ship were probably Phoenicians, who were some of the world's history's greatest sailors. And they were well acquainted with storms, and they knew that this was not just a typical storm. There was something supernatural about it. And verse 5 tells us that all of the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, God with a little g. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten their ship. They must have been afraid for their very lives. Then they cried out, screaming to any god that they could find or think of, hoping somehow that any god they would name would have the power to stop the storm. But the storm wasn't letting up. And then they threw whatever they could overboard. They needed to get the ship lighter so they could control it, but that wasn't helping. So Jonah and his new shipmates were experiencing winds and waves pounding that boat like they had never experienced before. And while all of this was going on, where was Jonah? Jonah was nowhere to be found. Jonah could have helped throw cargo into the water. He could have been praying to his God, but nope. Instead, he was in a deep sleep, like a person who is unconscious. How could he sleep at a time like this? Jonah, I believe, was probably so tired from his physically running from God that he was physically, emotionally, and most especially spiritually exhausted. You see, when we're not willing to listen to God, we are reduced to trudging through this world on our own power. And when we can't make headway against the storms of life on our own strength, then we become exhausted. I believe the deeper issue for Jonah is also that he was depressed. And if you've ever been in the deepest part of depression or around someone who is so depressed, you realize that someone who's that depressed can't even get out of bed. They struggle to sit up, let alone get up and fight a storm. This prophet of God who was used to relying on God's strength had been living on his own strength, and it wasn't working. He was done. So Jonah is in this deep, deep sleep in a boat, which is being tossed around like a toy boat with a child in a bathtub. It is such an ironic twist that the pagan captain of the ship finds Jonah sleeping in the belly of the boat and tells him to wake up and pray to his God, since maybe his God will take pity on the sailors and they won't perish. Nothing is working for these guys. These experienced and rugged sailors are beginning to really panic, and they realize that their gods that they're praying to aren't going to help them. And they know that this supernatural storm has to be caused by a God who's really, really angry at someone. So the only thing they can think of doing is to draw straws to see who is to blame for the storm. So they do that, and Jonah draws the shortest straw. And then they turn to him, and they're like, "Dude, what did you do? Why is God mad at you? Who are you? Who is your God? And what in the world have you done?" And Jonah told them his story. "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And when Jonah said that, the sailors became even more afraid. You have to remember, while these sailors were Phoenicians, they traveled to the land of Israel. They traveled all over the Mediterranean. They were familiar with all of the different religious traditions in the area. And they had some understanding of Judaism. It wasn't uncommon for people of the day to have a lot of understanding of other different religious traditions. They also understood that it was Jonah's God, the God of heaven and earth, was the God who made the land and the sea. This God was the creator of this terrible storm. And the sailors now knew that there was absolutely nothing that they could do to battle the power of the God of all creation. And they were afraid. They were doomed. Now, since Jonah told them he was running from the Lord, they wanted some answers about what Jonah did that made God so angry. And as they were talking, the sea is getting rougher and rougher, and no help is coming. And as a last resort, they asked Jonah what they could do to stop the storm. And Jonah tells the sailors, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Now, how's that for instructions? Just throw me into the raging sea, and the waters will become quiet. That's not exactly what the sailors were probably looking for. They may have wanted to hear something like, "Hey guys, if we all get down on our hands and knees and pray together and ask God to forgive me, I know God will stop the storm and everything will be okay." That's what they wanted Jonah to say. But he said, "No, just throw me overboard. It's my fault that you have this problem. So go ahead and do it." And then he was probably thinking, "If you do that, then I won't have to tell those rotten Ninevites about God's grace, and they'll never have the chance to repent because I'll just drown and it'll all be over." That's not what happens either. And we'll talk more about that later. But it's an interesting switch that the sailors cared more about Jonah than he cared about them or the Ninevites. You know, the sailors didn't listen to him at first. They started to row even harder to get back to land. And as they're rowing with more desperation, straining harder and harder, the storm grows worse and worse and worse. And finally they decide that they have no other option. They prayed, they cried out to the God that Jonah prayed to, the God who made the sea and the dry lands, and then after exhausting every possible method to save Jonah, the ship, and themselves, they decide to throw Jonah overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. Jonah was right. This prophet really did have a connection with God, which surpassed even what the sailors could have imagined. The raging sea became quiet, just like the waves in a wave pool when the motors are turned off. Instant calm. How did the pagan sailors respond? When those waters became quiet, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to God. They began to worship the one true God. It's a strange twist. Jonah wouldn't go to Nineveh to prophesy to the Gentiles, but when he tried to run and escape God, he was put into a situation where Gentile sailors put their faith in the one true God because of Jonah's weak, brief, and half-hearted faith. You see, nobody had experienced this kind of miracle from God on that ship. These non-believers thought that there were lots of gods who had lots of power, but they never really saw it happen just like that. I mean, imagine being praying for a terrible storm to stop, and in a flash, it stops. And you have calm seas. It does not slow down, but it stops. Storm one second, no storm the next. That's what happened when Jonah hit the water. There are so many similarities to this story in Matthew 8, when Jesus went to sleep in a boat that was caught up in a storm. And the disciples woke Jesus up in a panic, and Jesus quiets the storm, which shocks the disciples, because again, they had not experienced the power of God in that way. So what is the point of all of this? As much as Jonah was running away from God, remember this one thing. He never lost connection with God. And that is really cool. Think about it. Sometimes we run away from what God is calling us to do. because we just don't want to do it. The reason doesn't really matter. Yet, we still have an opportunity to call on God and know that God will hear our prayers. God will still be with us. God never bails out on us. Even when we are running in the wrong direction, with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things, God is still faithful to us because God loves us and God does not go back on God's word. So the next time we think about running away, or when we are running away from God, know that God will not abandon you. God will stay with you. God will be a constant presence in your life. Even when your body is running from your heart and spirit, God is always there. Always. Amen.